You are listening to a free version of the Majority Report with Sam Steeter. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeter. It's time to look in the mirror, America. Do you like what you see?
I keep referring to Obama as the magic Negro.
Do you like what you see now?
Well, suck on this.
It's just a mirror, America.
Shared sacrifice by everybody.
What could it do to you except reflect your image?
I did nothing wrong at the Minneapolis airport.
The Majority Report.
Far more credible to me than PBS
and Frontline.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeter.
And I get the feeling you've been cheated.
Hello, everybody. This is Matt and Mike here
on the Majority Report on Tuesday, March 4th. And today is a teaser Tuesday. On Tuesday. That's right, today's a members-only show.
Sam is here. You're hearing our voice for the first and last time. Well, not the last time, we're on the show. But Sam is here.
But he's not talking to you, because today is a members-only show.
Yes, and he's only talking to members today. It's his deal today. He woke up and said, I can't talk to anyone who's not a member.
But for you freebies...
In fact, to enter the building today, we had to give Sam $10 so we can even speak with him.
That isn't exactly true.
Well,
on today's show, we have a great segment, though, for you freebies, of Sarah Palin talking about Barack Obama's mom jeans and how that explains Ukraine and Russia. Just another great example of the amazing content that you get every day from this show. And why it would be a great time to become a member.
And if you wanted the rest of today's content, then you can just go to majority.fm, click Become a Member, and subscribe. It's less than a cup of coffee a day.
That's what you got to do. All right.
It's that simple. See you tomorrow.
Bye.
All right, let's get to this. I mean, I'm not going to pretend in any shape or way that I am... have much historical familiarity with the dynamic that is taking place in Ukraine. I'm not going to pontificate on it too much. Putin, as of I think yesterday, maybe I guess actually early this morning, our time, ruled out war with the Ukraine, and I guess what he's referring to is beyond Crimea. Look, there are some facts, and apparently, and I, like I say, I had no internet connection yesterday, so and I only catch part of the show yesterday. I could barely find anything in boxes. But apparently, Michael is taking some grief for having someone on the program yesterday who was not as pro-Putin as some would like. Look, there is an argument that because of the overwhelming Russian-speaking population in Crimea, because Crimea was a special circumstance in that Khrushchev basically gave over Crimea. And historically speaking,
it's kind of an apology for some of the more intense Stalinist crimes, like exporting all of the Tartars to Uzbek or Kazakhstan. Yeah.
Right. And so one can make the case that there's some type of special responsibility and relationship with Crimea. And after Yanukovych. Was tossed out, was democratically elected. He also was incredibly corrupt. Nevertheless, there are, in a democratically elected situation, there are supposedly democratic means in which to remove someone like that from power. the moment after he was deposed, the parliament basically passed a law saying that Russia is no longer a legitimate language to be spoken in Crimea. That law was vetoed. Nevertheless, it certainly did not augur well for the rights of the vast majority of people in Crimea who identified more closely with Russian ethnicity. So look, you know, Putin claims that he's not going to go any further than Crimea. He also claims that there were no Russian soldiers in Crimea. I didn't see the his quote was something to the effect like, I didn't see the insignias on there. I mean, so, you know, take it for what it's worth. There has been an announcement that the Crimean referendum on independence, which was previously scheduled, will be postponed. But that was probably done in conjunction with some consultation of Russian authorities, Russian officials, I should say, which is arguably a positive sign that there's not some unilateral cancellation of those and that may go forward. Crimean independence is probably the best case scenario in terms of short-circuiting this crisis. There's also a legitimate argument that the EU and the U.S. did too much to sort of stoke these protests as an attempt to realign Crimea with the EU. And so there's all sorts of cross currents here. And, you know, the argument, the one argument that seems to me to be, you know, sort of pathetic is this notion of President Obama's not macho enough. Of all the cross currents that are involved in this, one thing is clear, and that is there is no overriding geopolitical interest of the United States in this. There is obviously a strong interest in regards to the EU. There is also, to be fair, a 1993 or 96, I think it was, treaty that the United States was part of that would ensure the sovereign integrity of former, I guess, republics within the USSR, of which the United States is a signatory. Clearly, the Russians have violated that treaty. Ukraine obviously borders a bunch of NATO states and EU states. All that said, this is primarily of more geopolitical interest to Europe and the EU, which gets a lot of its energy from there. There's far more that they can do in this instance in terms of cutting off travel to the EU by the Russian oligarchs, freezing bank accounts there, which would put a lot more pressure on Putin. Obviously, the United States can do things like say, you're not part of the G8 anymore. You're not going to be, or we're going to boycott the G8 talks coming up in Sochi, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, this is not in the top tier of U.S. geopolitical interests. But the idea that this comes down to some sort of personality deficiency on President Obama and that he doesn't go topless enough and ride horses through meadows or whatever it is pathetic. In fact, I can only imagine who would make such an argument. Oh, I don't have to.
Yeah, all right, so you were worried after Georgia that this would happen in the Ukraine, and we now are watching what's happening in Crimea. Are you concerned this goes further, that his ambitions are much bigger than even the Crimean area?
Well, yes, especially under the commander-in-chief that we have today, because Obama's, the perception of him and his potency in, across the world is one of such weakness. And you know, I look at people are looking at Putin as one who wrestles bears and drills for oil. They look at our president as one who wears mom jeans and equivocates and bloviates. We are not exercising that peace through strength that only can be brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue, that only a strengthened United States military can do.
Yeah. All right. Let me move on. Let me.
Yeah. Let me move on because you're insane. you know, he's one of these, you know, they guys who wrestles bears and drills for oil and orders brutal crackdowns on protesters. And that's what we need, more manly, not mom jeans.
Which red, white, and blue is she talking about?
Yeah, well, I guess also it turns out the Russian flag, also red, white, and blue. And she knew, she should know that. She can see it from Alaska. So, you know, look, there's a lot of different cross currents here. And, you know, there's a very good argument that Putin has put himself in a jam that has far greater, I guess, jeopardy, potential for jeopardy for himself and for Russia than anyone else. There is a concern that it's a bit of a bank shot, but there is a concern that this is going to change EU energy policy. Now, one thing you should note, too, the idea that we could do more drilling in this country at this point is ridiculous. We have not since, I think, the 1950s have we been more exporting more hydrocarbon, carbon-based fuel. The idea that we could sell natural gas to Europe is fairly far-fetched because we simply don't have the infrastructure, nor do they, to liquefy this stuff and get it over there. It's just, it's not happening. So the real question and the real sort of issues that are problematic is that if Europe decides they want to be less dependent on Russia for fuel, then, and for energy essentially, that it could have implications, bad implications, for any gains, at least from Europe's perspective, in attempting to shift away from carbon-based technologies that enhance the problem of global warming. So, you know, that's that. I mean, I don't know what else to say on this. We can bring in experts who will say that Putin had no other choice because he's riding high in a saddle. And other people, you know, who can say that, and I guess going along with that would be that the U.S. and EU forced his hand in this situation. But, I mean, what is it that, besides switching his mom genes, what is it that Sarah Palin and her ilk would have the U.S. do? Maybe if we all just had a National Wear Dad Jeans Day, we could project that type of strength and force the Putin regime out of Crimea.
Well, I think what you're saying is exactly right, and the practical implications of what they're mostly advocating, besides some possible sanctions, which could be a good idea. But they're talking about drilling and the Keystone Pipeline, which is insane.
Well, what is and the Keystone Pipeline about, is not going to be?
Of course not.
It couldn't be any further yeah. away. How is China getting this this refined bitumen? How is that going to implicate anything?
Absolutely. No, so and then so that's total nonsense. And the other thing that they're pushing for is missile defense shields in Poland.
Right.
So just another boondoggle.
Of course. Maybe if we roll back the minimum wage, Putin will see that we mean business. It's ridiculous.